The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences. If you are not an adult, please do not let your parents know you're listening to this, and don't repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please drink responsibly. Now that we have all that covered, let's start the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 332 of the podcast. And I know you're not joining live because I'm not recording live this week. I was going to do the episode yesterday. By the way, today is Monday, October 9th. I was going to record an episode yesterday, but I wound up getting a pretty bad sore throat later in the night. I don't know if I'm coming down with a cold or whatever the case. Felt a little better today, so I thought I'd throw on an episode, not doing it live just in case my voice gives out. But I've got some hot tea here and some cold water, and we'll see if I can get through an entire episode and deliver the caliber of performance that you all have come to expect from me. So here we are. By the way, I appreciate everybody who is subscribed and everything like that and notifications on, all the rest. It helps a lot if you leave comments on the YouTube videos, if you share the videos. Make sure if you share anything, tag me on social media so I can, you know, share your post back, etc. I guess it's the weather change here in Florida. Finally dropped below 80 degrees. So this is our fall. It was actually yesterday morning was below 70. So, you know, that's pretty chilly for us here in the Tampa Bay area, which could explain what's going on with my voice. It could just be the lack of humidity. You know, you get so used to having that humidity in your body that things dry up a little quicker when it's not there, I guess. But the weather is changing, so let's get this out of the way up front. If you want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, like our hoodies, you do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on that order. Grab yourself a hoodie, folks. Hoodie season is upon us. Pumpkin spice season is upon us. I don't know if anybody saw the video I posted. I think it was last week. Did a pumpkin spice latte old fashioned. So if that sounds like it's something up your alley, go check that out. It's a YouTube short, and it's also on Instagram if you want the recipe for that. Maybe on TikTok as well. So it's at MMA on the Rocks, all of those places, if you want to track that down, if pumpkin spice is your thing. If not, got plenty of other things on there. You know, the regular whiskey reviews still coming out pretty regularly. Got some technique videos on there. So if you're not already, make sure you go ahead and follow the social media for all that stuff, all that extra stuff. Speaking of extra stuff, started a new segment on the podcast last week. For now, the segment is going to be called Picks on the Rocks, where I invite my buddy Matt the Mechanic on the show, and he makes picks for the upcoming fight card. I will then criticize him or ridicule him for those picks, you know, without having the responsibility of making picks. I can kind of pin it on him and use him as my scapegoat. So that's going to be every Thursday. That's only available on YouTube. So if you're one of the audio only listeners, make sure you subscribe on YouTube if you want to catch the weekly picks. I decided to make that content exclusive to YouTube. It was an executive decision based on nothing more than that's the only place I feel like posting it if I'm going to do two shows a week. But we'll go into a little more depth, you know, previewing the upcoming cards. And Matt gave a parlay last week for the UFC Vegas 80 card. It did not go the way he predicted. So if you want to go back and listen to that episode, you can hear the parlay he gave. And and how incredibly off it was. These will not be, you know, particularly educated picks, folks. My hope is that the picks are going to be so bad that you can actually make money betting the opposite of what Matt says. So, you know, hopefully that'll be the case. And then everybody wins because we're making more content. You guys make some money. Then you can buy some over the top under the influence hoodies. You can afford to buy two because you know your girlfriend's going to steal one. Everybody wins. Let's talk fights, because if you heard the episode last week, you would know that I told Matt he should have included Bobby Green in his parlay because he was trying to go for all underdogs. Bobby Green was a plus 320 or something. And I said the margin on the numbers, considering his ability to end the fight with one punch, it seemed like a pretty good bet to me. And now I tell you guys all the time, I'm not the gambling guy. I don't know how to handicap MMA. I barely know what a parlay is, except for, you know, what they tell you it is in Pirates of the Caribbean. It's when you ask to go see the captain. But just from looking at the numbers and seeing Bobby Green as a plus 300, whatever he was, and knowing his ability to end a fight in one shot, I would have stuck him on the parlay, but that's just me. Matt did not do that. And, here we are. He only got, I think he got one fight correct out of his three fight parlay. But Bobby Green, man, I understand why Grant Dawson was a favorite here, but it seemed like a bit of a stretch to me. Like, I know his grappling is really good, and we saw what Islam Makhachev was able to do against Bobby Green, but you got to remember that was on a few weeks' notice, getting in there with a guy like Makhachev, and you know that's the type of fighter Bobby Green is. He really is anywhere, anytime, anybody type of fighter, and I think that's, you know, why a lot of people are fans of his. Looked awesome, man. I mean, it didn't take long. This fight lasted all of 33 seconds. So Grant Dawson, right off the bat, for some reason, put his back against the cage. And then, you know, as opposed to pushing forward on Bobby Green, putting him on his back foot, which is, you know, where he's the least comfortable. I mean, he's comfortable everywhere, but when you allow Bobby Green to push forward, that's when he's the most dangerous. So Grant Dawson takes a step back and he tries to come in with an overhand left and with the lead hand, and Bobby Green just read it. He feinted the right and then lunged forward with the left, straight left hand down the pipe. It was almost, he threw it almost as if he were throwing the right hand. So he went with the feint and then kept the same momentum forward as he brought the left hand up. Because even Cormier on the call was saying he dropped him with a right hand because it was such a good feint. It almost looked like he threw the right hand. So he throws the left. Not even really in ideal position, but he's just got that kind of power where if he makes contact, you go down. And Grant Dawson went down. Keith Peterson jumps in to save him. 33 seconds, round one, victory for Bobby Green. So there you have it. And I don't know, man, what do you do with Bobby Green next? If you're the UFC, I mean, that's a big win in a main event. Let's see if let's pull up the old UFC rankings. I guess I could have had this ready ahead of time, but all right, so Grant Dawson was ranked number 10. I guess Bobby Green's going to take that spot. So now we're looking at a top 10 opponent for Bobby Green. Dan Hooker would be a fun one, that's for sure. Bobby Green, Michael Chandler would be fun. I don't know if I want to see Bobby Green and Matheus Gamrot. Bobby Green and Fazeev. There's some fun ones on here. We could do Bobby Green and RDA, but that would be stepping out of the top 10. Interesting. It's going to be interesting with Bobby Green mixed into this top 10 now. I don't know. What do you guys want to see? Who do you want to see him fight next? And as for Grant Dawson, I mean, he's young. He got caught. He's still a really solid fighter. He's going to bounce back from this one. I'm sure of it. Co-main event, Joseph Pfeiffer against Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. Pfeiffer, man, this dude is a mauler, an absolute mauler. And a lot of times in MMA, we see that like the open space wrestling doesn't work as well anymore because everybody's got wrestling now. If you make it to this level, you've got a degree of wrestling. But Pfeiffer, man, he's got an aggressive takedown game and it works in the open space. He doesn't necessarily have to bully you up against a cage and chain wrestle to a body lock and, you know, do all this sort of stuff. He's still one of these guys that will shoot a blast double and be successful with it. You know, interesting that he's in the same division as Bo Nickel. Obviously he doesn't have that caliber of wrestling, but really effective open space wrestling for MMA does Joe Pfeiffer possess. He's got some power too. I mean, the guy enjoys throwing his hands, it seems like, and apparently he's got a hell of a squeeze. Gets an arm triangle on Al-Hassan. Al-Hassan kind of like trying to throw at the ribs. I think some people thought he was tapping, but just some light punches on the ribs as he was starting to go unconscious. And then, you know, he went out. So, hell of a squeeze. Like I said, this dude's a problem for the middleweight division. You know, he went out there and, you know, screaming at the microphone, and where he may have messed up is asking for more money. He's like, I want to step up in competition, but I want to do it for more money. He'll probably come to learn the hard way that that's something you should talk about behind closed doors. And not shout on the microphone, kind of coming at the bosses. Historically, that doesn't work out well. I mean, if you look at, you know, they let the heavyweight champion go over such things. So, you know, these are the kinds of things you talk about, like, hey, I had a great performance. I want to step it up, but you know how dangerous these guys are at the top of the division. I want to fight some of them, but you know, I could use a little more cash in my pockets for these training camps and go about it that way. Who knows? Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about and it'll work out for him. I hope it does because he's an exciting fighter to watch. But I would imagine, you know, sometimes they can be vindictive. I know Joe Silva, when he was doing the matchmaking, he would be vindictive about it when you did stuff like that, calling out the bosses. And then he would try and fuck you over on your next fight. So we'll see. Hopefully it works out for him. Yeah, cold season, guys. So far, the voice is holding up. I'm surprised. Been sipping tea all morning. A little, you know, honey, bone broth. Trying to make sure that this doesn't develop into a cold or anything like that. Going to take a break from the gym. Just so I don't get any of my training partners sick. Let's see, moving on down the card, Joaquin Buckley back at welterweight, just bullied Alex Morano. And this was one of Matt's picks, was Alex Morano for that parlay. I didn't think it was a bad pick because Morano is so experienced. He's been in the UFC since 2016, I believe. So to take him as an underdog, I don't think it was a bad bet. You know, even in hindsight, usually with Buckley, you have to weather the storm up front. And who better to do that than a guy who's been in the UFC since 2016 and has been in there with every type of fighter and is very experienced, very well-rounded. However, we saw, you know, a very patient Joaquin Buckley. You know, we didn't see a guy who was just going for broke and throwing everything into every strike. He was much bigger than Morano in there. He just kind of bullied him around the cage, bodied him, controlled where the fight went. Was able to land some big shots. Credit to Marano for staying in there. But Buckley coming away with a unanimous decision victory. That one's pretty easy to score. And here's another one from Matt's parlay. It didn't quite pan out. Drew Dober getting the TKO over Ricky Glenn. First round, 2 minutes, 36 seconds. So Glenn was in there. It seemed like he had a little bit of trouble with the Southpaw versus Southpaw matchup. And he was kind of playing like a Muay Thai style striking where he had his lead hand kind of floating up and down. So what Dober was doing was he would come over the top with an overhand left, and then he would come underneath that guard, that floating hand guard that Glenn was using. So he kind of made him guess which way he was going to come. He tried to throw a long rear knee, which is like an awkward knee to throw for Southpaw versus Southpaw, because it's got to travel such a long way to reach the body, especially against someone who has such fast hands like Drew Dober. And then finally, Drew Dober was able to go over the top with that left hand and catch Glenn clean, put him down, and that was the beginning of the end. Chris Tognoni had to step in there. And that was that. So on the main card, Matt was 0 for 2 with his parlay. And let's see. Bill Algeo, unanimous decision win over Alexander Hernandez. Did not actually get to see this fight. I heard Algeo had a very boisterous post-fight speech. I plan to go back and watch it, see what he said. I think he's trying to develop himself into some kind of character or heel or something, say some inflammatory things. I didn't actually even see any clips of what he said, but from what I hear, he called out Billy Quartello, who of course is a friend of the show. That would be an interesting fight. You know, these are two guys knocking on the door of the top of the rankings. Let me see where they are exactly. Are either of these guys in the top 15? No, not as of yet. So who will be the first Bill to make it to the featherweight rankings? It won't be the one you're listening to right now, I can tell you that much. But will it be Bill Algeo or Billy Quartello? I think we can make that fight happen. I think it'd be a fun one. I know Billy's not one to back down from a challenge. So, and I know he's looking to fight around December, get one more in before the end of the year. And Algeo, from what I hear, didn't take much damage in this fight. So sounds like something that's potentially realistic. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, unanimous decision over Diana Belvita. This was just experience coming into play here. Kowalkiewicz, been there, done that, fought for the title. She was on a pretty bad losing streak for a while, but now she's won a few in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, four in a row. All right. You know, she had a pretty rough streak, lost five in a row at one point from 2018 to 2021, but, you know, it just took that one win to get her confidence back. She submitted Felice Herrig in 2022 in June and then strung together three more after that. So let's see, 37 years old. Can she make one more run? I don't know. I don't know if she gets all the way there. I mean, she can make the run. Let's see. What's her path look like here? She's not in the top 15. And if she makes a smart enough call out, you know, Yana Santos maybe, Pani Kianzad. Wait, I'm looking at the wrong division. Sorry, guys. Yeah, complete wrong division. I don't even know what I'm doing down there. Oh, she is in the top 15. She is number 15. And I don't know if she'll move up after this win over Belvita, who was not ranked. Okay. So maybe she calls out Tabitha Ricci, Amanda Hebos. I don't know. She'd have to win like three more in a row at this rate, looking at this lineup here in the strawweight division. So we'll see. We'll see, Carolina. I've always been a fan of hers. She just seems like so innocent and just like such a nice person. But who knows? Maybe she's not. Maybe she's mean. Maybe she like beats animals or something. We don't know. Natan Maness, TKO over Mataus Mendonca. So Mendonca was going for a leg lock on the bottom and was not addressing the punches from Maness that were coming from the top. And, you know, that's a mistake. When you get too committed to the leg locks in MMA, the punches are there. You need both of your hands to set up these leg locks, and you don't have anything to protect your face. He actually got knocked out and his head kind of bounced off the canvas. Then he got hit again and it appeared to wake him back up. But then Maness just was relentless and wound up getting the TKO, Chris Tognoni stepping in. Vanessa Demopoulos, unanimous decision win over Kanako Murata. From what I hear, I did not watch this fight, but from what I hear, this is a very controversial decision. A lot of people think Murata should have won. Let me know what you guys think, and let me know if it's a fight that's worth going back to watch. Because I'm not planning to, but if you tell me it was a great fight, you know, really good scrap, then I'll go back and check it out. Last one I'll talk about, J.J. Aldrich getting a unanimous decision win over Montana De La Rosa. This was the only pick that Matt got right in his parlay from the show on Thursday. So again, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and have your notifications on. We're going to do the Thursday night shows. And this week we're going to be doing UFC Fight Night 230, which I guess is UFC Vegas 81, headlined by Sadiq Youssef and Edson Barboza. This is actually a really fun fight. Doesn't seem like it would be something that would be a main event. This seems like a very unusual main event, but here we are. Co-main event, Jennifer Maia, Viviana Rojo. A fun one, Jonathan Martinez and Adrian Yanez. Here's another interesting one, Andre Petrosky and Michelle Padilla. I'd be interested to hear what Matt's pick would be in this one, because Petrosky, obviously a grappler. His last fight, he had a hard time with Gerald Meerschaert, though. So will he be able to deal with the explosiveness of Michelle Padilla? Padilla moving up to middleweight, which I like, because I don't know, out of all of his fights at welterweight, I think he made weight like twice. You know, the last one with Wonderboy was a big disappointment because he missed weight and the fight had to be called off because Wonderboy, you know, didn't want to give him that advantage. So I'm glad to see that he moved up, or that he was forced to move up. That's an interesting fight because Petrosky is a big dude. That's a lot to handle on, you know, your first middleweight fight. Ashley Yoder and Emily Ducati, that's a fun fight. Terrence McKinney buried way down on the prelims against Brendan Morote. Didn't Terrence McKinney win his last fight? What's he doing way down here? Who'd he piss off? Yeah, he won his last fight. It was just in August. First round TKO. Before that was the that nasty submission loss to Nazim Sadikov. But, okay, I guess somebody's upset with him because he's way down on the prelims, second fight of the night. So that's that. We'll get into more detail on this one Thursday night, so make sure you tune in for that show. And let's see, last thing here while I'm like still trying to save my voice. Bellator 300 was this weekend, which it kind of had a weird vibe to it, you know, from everybody, from the commentators to the people on the desk to the fighters to the people in attendance. It just had a strange vibe. And I follow Jimmy Smith. You guys know Jimmy Smith, did some commentary for the UFC for a little while. Follow him on Instagram, and he got on and was talking about what a strange vibe it was. He said it was kind of surreal. And the story is that nobody knows if this was the last Bellator event or not. You know, supposedly the plan was for them to go through the end of the year, do 301, 302, and then call it. But I guess those events haven't been planned, and nobody's been told if they're working, and nobody's been told if they're fighting. And everybody at Bellator seems to just be confused. Like, was this our last night of work or not? And, you know, they also don't know if the promotion is just being dissolved or if it's being absorbed. Did the UFC buy it? Did the PFL buy it? Where are the fighters going? You know, we saw a few weeks ago, some of the fighters like Patricky Pitbull were showing up on the UFC's website, and like maybe it was a glitch or maybe it was a premonition or a marketing thing. But yeah, nobody seems to know. And it kind of made the event weird. You know, you think it would be like a celebration, like, oh, we made it, Bellator 300, 300 events, let's celebrate. But it was more like, it's Bellator 300, what are we going to do after this? You know, that was kind of the vibe of the event. And then the fights were like, eh. It was like everybody who was expected to win kind of did. It was one of those cards. You know, Usman Nurmagomedov remains undefeated, defended his lightweight championship against Brent Primus, who held the title previously, won it from Michael Chandler several years ago. Nurmagomedov, though, just, you know, he uses his range so masterfully. He's just able to control everything. You know, Brent Primus wasn't able to figure out the timing, wasn't able to figure out how to get in on the inside. And even when he got to the clinch, he was so concerned with controlling that he wasn't really advancing. So, Nurmagomedov coming away with a win, pretty much, you know, untouched. Maybe he got hit like five times in the whole fight. Pretty one-sided. But, you know, a win over Brent Primus, you know, former champion, is a big deal. So he goes to 18-0. Obviously holds up the Nurmagomedov name. So what's going to happen with this guy? This will be interesting if he ends up coming to the UFC, because obviously the champion in his weight class is his training partner, Islam Makhachev. Those guys are not going to fight. They're like practically brothers. So what happens there? You know, is he going to move to the PFL to avoid the Makhachev fight? Is one of them going to change weight classes? I know Makhachev was talking about going up to 170, challenging Leon Edwards at one point, or he wants the winner of Edwards and Colby Covington. I don't know. A lot of people made a big deal over after the fight. I think it was it Liz Carmouche? Yeah, Liz Carmouche and Cyborg were in the cage, and Liz tried to shake hands with Usman, and he had to politely decline because of his religion. He can't touch a woman, like, so he obviously can't shake her hand. A lot of people made a big deal of it, like he was insulting her, but it, you know, that's his religious belief. I didn't really think anything of it. I think it was just a weak night for headlines in terms of this event. For such a big event, there was not a whole lot to talk about because, like I said, everyone who's expected to win pretty much won. So that's what happened in the co-main event. Chris Santos, TKO over Kat Zingano. Kat Zingano is someone who has been able to transfer her wrestling skills very well to MMA. And, you know, she usually does a good job in there of incorporating her wrestling, but just wasn't able to get Cyborg down. You know, she got her down for like a split second, but it seemed like once she got hit clean for the first time, you know, she didn't want any part of that fight. So Cyborg getting the TKO towards the end of the first round. Liz Carmouche and Alimale McFarland. This fight was not good. This was a case of, you know, two friends basically who got in there and didn't want to hurt each other. Alimale hurt her knee early on, and then, you know, the beginning of the fifth round, Liz kind of kicked that leg, and that was the end of the fight. But before that, it was like, you know, they were former training partners. I believe they've cornered each other. It was like they didn't want to be in there with each other. So it was weird. What else happened? Slim Trabelsi, the heavyweight, gets a TKO win in the first round. And this guy had a lot of hype behind him. He's 30 years old. 30 years old for a Bellator heavyweight, man. That's like a preemie. He's like a premature baby. Usually the Bellator heavyweights, they start training at 30. But this guy seems like he's going to be a problem. You know, he's 6'3", 239 pounds, which is like a really good size for a heavyweight. Seems like he moves really well. He's got really good wrestling. So, you know, we'll see what happens with this guy. Who knows where he's going to end up. Anything else? I didn't watch all of this card, obviously. Yeah, and is that possibly the last Bellator card that we'll ever see? You know, even the people in Bellator don't seem to know for sure. And I've had a love-hate relationship with Bellator. You know, I know I've spent a lot of time kind of shitting on them. My biggest issue with Bellator was I really enjoyed it when it was on Spike and you could kind of flip through the channels and be like, oh, Bellator's on tonight. Let me, you know, stop and watch this. And, you know, they would put on some good fights. But then it was like, they hit such a streak where it was so hard just to figure out how to watch it. You know, you needed like the DAZN app, and the app like didn't really work right. And even if you had the app, it was like kind of hard to tell like when the fights were on. And then they went through a bunch of different platforms. They were on some other streaming thing. I don't know if it was HBO or what, and then they moved from there. It's like you can never tell, like you can never tell like when the fights were going to be on. And then on top of that, you know, while that was going on, they were losing some of their stars. You know, like Michael Chandler signed with the UFC. You know, Michael Venom Page went off and was doing bare knuckle boxing. He didn't come back, I don't think. And it was weird. And then they got to a point where, like we saw the other night, where, you know, their best fighters are just winning all the time. And it wasn't, there was nothing competitive. Like there's nobody in there who could beat Cyborg. Obviously the fight everybody wants to see is Cyborg and Kayla Harrison. But, you know, that's not going to happen in Bellator. So what's going to happen now? Will Cyborg go to the PFL? Is everybody going to the PFL? Is there going to be another Bellator event? We don't know. But I will say this. it's the most talking points I've had about Bellator in a good number of years. So, you know, if they had to collapse to get me to talk about them, I guess it worked. You know, obviously I hope everybody there lands on their feet. They have some great commentators, you know, Big John McCarthy. He's come a long way with his commentary. You know, wasn't great in the beginning, but, you know, he's a smart guy. He figured it out, and he's become, you know, really good with the color commentary. They have, you know, Josh Thompson on the desk. He's great. He always has a good perspective. You know, I listen to the Weighing In podcast with McCarthy and Thompson. Those guys, you know, for the most part, they have really good takes on a lot of stuff. And I'm sure they have a great production crew and everything like that, and they have a lot of really good fighters. So I hope everybody lands somewhere, lands on their feet, and, you know, stays employed. So here's hoping for that. All right. So Thursday night, we'll be back only on YouTube to break down UFC Vegas 81. That's Sadiq Youssef, Edson Barbosa. So we're going to do some picks. Well, Matt the Mechanic is going to do some picks, and I'm going to criticize him and, you know, tell him his picks are silly. And then hopefully they are. Or hopefully, you know, you guys win some money either way, whether you go with his picks or against them. You know, I'd love to hear everybody winning some money. That's about it. Hopefully this throat issue or this cold or whatever this is will be all cleared up by then. Managed to survive through this episode and, you know, get through almost 40 minutes of talking here. I didn't think I was going to be able to go this long, but here we are. So hopefully everybody's doing well out there. Hopefully you guys aren't getting sick with the weather changing. I know the change in temperature other places in the country and in the world is a little more severe than it is here in Florida. But what are you going to do? We'll stock up on the tea and the bone broth and all that good stuff and get ready to grin and bear it through the cold season. I think that's it. So make sure you guys are following on all the social media. If you're not following on YouTube, make sure you subscribe on there so you can catch the second weekly show that's going to be coming out. Episode 2 is going to happen this Thursday. And that's all I got. So thanks, everybody. Until next time. Cheers, everybody. Bye.